Well, I'm sure most of us are familiar with names of certain nonprofit organizations. All kinds of organizations like the United Way, Samaritan's Purse, Boys and Girls Club. We've even seen these commercials on TV. St. Jude's, Shriners Hospital, ASPCA, which is an animal and rescue organization. We see affected dogs on that one. Now, there's also a lot of parachurch organizations, Ligonier Ministries, Gospel Coalition, Answers in Genesis, even Net Center for Church Planning that Summit Woods is a part of. So there might be an organization that you're donating to because it has a special meaning and goal that is close to your heart. What is the common word that is often used in outreach in these organizations? Here's a hint. We've been talking about it this whole time in Philippians, and no help from the preaching squad. Anybody know? What's the word? Partner. Partnership. So here's a beautiful illustration to prove my point. A week ago, I got an email from one of these parachurch organizations. I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Here's one of my illustrations. And what it says is, in the very first paragraph, it says, we invite you to partner with us in our mission to reach people for Christ by providing biblical answers to spiritually related questions. We truly believe this organization is a great place to invest your financial resources in an eternal impact. So I want to take a definition of partnership for a minute. So listen to this definition and see how it can relate to us here at Summit Woods. So partnership, it's a shared relationship built on mutual submission to Christ and a common purpose of glorifying God. This includes active participation in the local church, mutual accountability, and working together towards a gospel, a shared gospel mission. Now, in our passage today, Philippians, we're going to see a couple of things. We're going to see how Paul is thankful to the Philippian church for their joyful partnership in furthering the gospel through the provisions of his needs. We're also going to see how this passage is about the Philippians receiving joyful benefits and partnering with Paul in spreading the gospel. And then we're going to see how Paul is pointing out how significant a joyful partnership is in the local church in supporting the spreading of the gospel. So what kind of benefits can we gain from partnering with the ministries of our local church like Summit Woods and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, tonight we're going to see where Paul points out five joyful benefits of engaging in godly partnerships that reap temporal and eternal rewards. Five joyful benefits of engaging in godly partnerships that reap temporal and eternal rewards. So the difference between temporal and eternal. Temporal is a benefit or blessing experienced in this life. Eternal reward is promised by God to believers for their faithfulness and obedience extending into eternity. So let's look at the first joyful benefit of engaging in godly partnerships that reap temporal and eternal rewards. We see this in verses 15 and 16. It's a joyful unity. Now, this is a continuation of thought from Paul's dialogue about God's provision in verses 11 through 14 that Jeremy went through the last time we were together. So if we're looking at that, starting at verse 10, Paul is saying, at last you have revived your concern for me. Not that I speak from want. He says, I'm not desperate for your provision. He says, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know how to get along in humble means and in prosperity. He says, I've learned the secret of contentment, having abundance or suffering need. And then he says in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So he sums all this up and he says, I can do all things, even in the poverty, even when we've been separated for a time. And then there's a full stop. And then I think what Paul does is he realizes what he just said, that it doesn't sound very grateful because he's focusing on himself. So what he does is now he turns the focus to them, and this is what he says. Verse 14. Full stop. Now he says, but nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my afflictions. And we all say, nice save, Paul. So Paul has always had a great love and affection for the Philippians. He now recounts how they faithfully gave to him in the past, and he's rejoicing because now they have started giving to him again. Now he continues to build up their valuable contribution of their joyful unity together. in the gospel in verses 15 and 16 by saying, he says, you yourselves also know. He continues this thought from 14. He says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, he's calling them out personally, this church, nobody else but you Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. So let's get this timeline with Paul. So the church of Philippi is the first Christian church in the region of Macedonia. It's in Europe. So this church was planted by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey around AD 50. He then traveled to Thessalonica and Berea and then on to Corinth. Now Paul did pass back through Philippi on his third missionary journey around AD 55. So this is 5 years later. And now currently Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians from Rome in under house, strict house arrest around 62. AD. So this is approximately 6 years after Paul left Philippi. So over the course of this time, including now, the Philippians have given to Paul four separate times. So the Philippians know that no church shared with Paul, because he's let them know this, from the first preaching of the gospel he talks about. Meaning, when he first brought the good news of Jesus Christ to the people of Philippi, these members of the Philippian church embraced this gospel that Paul preached to them, and have been forever grateful for their changed lives. So the Greek word translated share here is koinonia. We all know this word. And this carries a broader meaning of participation. Or like Ben had mentioned back in Philippians 1:5, it means fellowship. Well, I like the word from the ESV, which is partnership. Now that phrase, gospel partnership, has been a running theme throughout our whole series of Philippians here. Now, the share or partnership from our definition earlier, let's read it again in light of what's kind of been going on now between the Philippians and Paul. It's saying it's a shared relationship built on mutual submission in Christ and a common purpose of glorifying God, working together towards a shared gospel mission. So we see this joyful unity in this beautiful phrase of giving and receiving that we see next in the context. This is one of several financial terms that Paul uses in the passage about their relationship. Their relationship is not a cold and heartless transaction. This financial phrase talks about sharing payments and receipts. It's an indication of friendship, of a giving and receiving. It's emphasizing that their gifts are a form of unity where they give materially to Paul, and then the Philippians receive spiritual blessings and encouragement in return. It's a strong mutual friendship. And this is their reward for unity. So Paul is expressing his deep gratitude to the Philippians for their generosity and support through the partnership in spreading the gospel. And the Philippians are grateful to Paul for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and taking it to others. So you sense a joyful unity of spirit here between these two, with the common mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I see there is a joyful unity here at Summit Woods, but are you a part of those shared bonds and harmonious relationships among fellow believers? Being part of a spiritual friendship that's built on love, a shared faith, and a common purpose. So this joyful unity leads to the second joyful benefit we find in verse 17 of what happens with the Philippians when they engage in godly partnerships. And this is a joyful profit. We see this in verse 17. So Paul continues, he says, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit for which increases to your account. So now Paul is clarifying here from verse 11. He also says the similar thing. He says, not that I speak from want in verse 11. Now he's saying a similar thing in verse 17. He's saying, not that I seek the gift itself. So he's telling them that he's not actually looking for financial gain for himself. His ultimate goal is seeking their eternal gain and profit. So the word profit is another financial term, which means gain or advantage. It's not about making or having money. In the ESV, the word is translated fruit. So the fruit or profit refers to the Philippians' spiritual and personal growth, a maturity that results from their acts of kindness and generosity towards Paul's ministry. It's a direct, joyful benefit of their giving, which Paul says, the next phrase, in keeping with your account, or increasing to your account. This is one more financial term where Paul emphasizes that their giving is an investment in their own spiritual lives. So this highlights the principle that generosity yields not only material blessing, but also a deeper spiritual reward from our love and obedience to God. So Paul is excited from the growing Christ-like character and maturity of giving out of their need. I think he's overwhelmed that such an impoverished group of people give so joyfully out of their poverty. So we see Paul was joyful in their giving, not because of his need, but because of the spiritual profit and fruit increasing for them. And the Philippians are overflowing with joy because of what they are getting in eternal rewards through growing in their faith by giving to Paul's ministry and partnering together in spreading the gospel. So isn't it a blessing to know that our regular ongoing giving of our time, talent, and treasure to Summit Woods demonstrates a spiritual maturity and heavenly focus? And what a joy it is to know that our actions of obedience to God are continually adding to our eternal accounts. Now, not only do the gifts add to their eternal account, but they are also well-pleasing to God, as we see in the next, in the third joyful benefit of engaging in godly partnerships. It's a joyful sacrifice. This is in verse 18. So Paul continues, and he says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So Paul is continuing from verse 17 and letting the Philippians know that they have given to him multiple times, and he's not after their money for selfish gains. He's not after that at all. And he tells them in three different ways how overwhelmed he is by their generosity. You see it there. He says he's received what? Everything in full. He has abundance, and he's also amply supplied. Now, we don't know what this gift is. So, you know, in the commentaries, it could be a mixture of money, food, clothing, other tangible items, other personal items for Paul's needs. But what we do know is that it was a blessing to Paul in his bleak imprisonment. So Paul once again uses an accounting imagery by saying that the Philippians' gifts have fully met his needs and even exceeded them. He says in this next statement, "I've received full payment." Now, this term is receiving money in full and having a receipt. So it's buying something and you get a receipt that it's paid in full. So you have a debt, you give the amount of money, and then you get a receipt that's stamped paid in full. There's no other obligation to give. Okay? So Paul is telling him, hey, man, you guys have given enough. He doesn't need any more. Paul is joyful and grateful. He's being filled up completely and was overwhelmed from these gifts that were brought from Epaphroditus. Now, here's a little aside on Epaphroditus, because I think, not having to do with anything monetary that I think Epaphroditus, I think Epaphroditus also gave a sacrifice, and we see this in chapter 2. So, his was a personal sacrifice in serving and giving of himself for the cause of the gospel. And we see this in verse 25 of chapter 2. If you look at that, you'll see that Paul calls him my brother, a co-worker, a fellow soldier, who's also a messenger that they sent to take care of his needs. Now, these are very endearing terms that Paul gives to Epaphroditus. So we see Epaphroditus sacrifice his own self to show his care for Paul by bringing the gifts. He is a useful servant of God. He even became ill to the point of dying. So you see Epaphroditus' obvious devotion, faithfulness, self-sacrifice in his service to Paul, the Philippian church, and the gospel. Now, Paul shifts from using accounting terms and now of giving and receiving, and now to a God focus, to the Philippian sacrifice of giving of their gifts in the sight of God. So Paul elevates the Philippians' gifts, likening them to an acceptable sacrifice, like offered in the Old Testament, of being a pleasing offering to God, suggesting that their act of giving itself is valued and pleasing in God's eyes. Leviticus 1:9 states, "And the priest shall offer up smoke, all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord." He is saying that, you know what, you didn't give the gift to me, but you actually gave your gift to God. as a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, the concept of well-pleasing sacrifice highlights the importance of obedience and worship in pleasing God. It's the idea of the selfless giving heart that pleases God. Now, we see this in Romans 12:1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So our response to God's mercy in giving us eternal life is we are to give him our lives in obedience as a sacrifice to be used for his purposes. Hebrews 13, "Through him then, let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." So this verse is about offering a sacrifice of praise, not just words, but through our actions and lives in faith and obedience. And then in Ephesians 5, Christ was the ultimate, eternally pleasing sacrifice for sin, being obedient unto death. It says, "Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So we see how Paul, the Philippians, and Epaphroditus offered their own pleasing sacrifices to God. We see Paul's sacrifice in enduring all kinds of hardships and trials to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see the Philippian church sacrificing their material possessions, giving for the gospel. And we also see Epaphroditus sacrificing himself for service to assist in the gospel. From these verses, we can see the reward for these sacrifices in that they were well-pleasing to God. So, how much are we tied to our personal possessions and our personal time, enjoying the things we like to do? Nothing wrong with that. They're blessings from God. But sometimes these things can crowd out what God is really calling us to do. Let's make a point to give ourselves to the church through our personal possessions, personal time, out of obedience to God. When our sacrifices are performed correctly, they bring joy and satisfaction to God. So because of the Philippian sacrifice of giving, Paul now says that God will supply all their physical needs in this life, which is the fourth joyful benefit, which is a joyful provision in verse 19. Joyful provision. So Paul is summing up in verse 13 that through all his struggles and suffering, he can take whatever circumstances come his way. He can get through them because Christ's strengthening him. And then here in verse 19, he sums up and encourages the Philippians that despite their sufferings and struggles, he says God will also meet their needs according to his riches in glory. So Paul talks about my God will supply. Well, Paul has a personal relationship with God in the sense that he's experienced God meeting his needs in his personal life of turmoil and suffering, saying that he can do all things through Christ that has met him in his sufferings, in his dire need or abundance. Now he's telling the Philippians with full conviction of this same God that has supplied for me and my suffering will definitely supply for all your needs in your poverty and suffering. Matthew 6 speaks to the meeting of material needs. He says, Jesus says, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So the Philippians had sacrificially given of their earthly possessions to support Paul. In return, God would amply supply all their needs. The phrase "all your needs" means material needs, earthly needs, that the Philippians actually had sacrificed and would be given back by God in response to their sacrifice. We see this in Luke 6, this principle. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So Paul says God will do this. How? The next phrase, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, we have to remember, is the source of all of God's riches. The key to this is to be in union with Christ through faith and obedience to experience these vast riches. So when God gives to you, he doesn't give you a pittance out of the riches. He gives you to according to his riches, to his glorious riches, the riches in glory that belong to him in his eternal kingdom that are yours in Christ Jesus. That is God's joyful provision. So here's a call and a challenge for us for generosity. As God has blessed us with resources, let us give sacrificially to the church and its ministries so they might flourish in order for others to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul moves from this truth of God's riches to now a joyful praise and worship to God. This is an exclamation point of all the things that they have accomplished together in their partnership for the gospel. And this is the fifth and final joyful benefit of engaging in godly partnerships that will reap temporal and eternal rewards. Verse 20, it's a joyful proclamation. A joyful proclamation. So this doxology culminates Paul's encouragement for the church to be joyful and content through what God has done. We read in verse 20, "Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So in the last verse, Paul was referring to my God in a personal way, and we understand that. Now Paul exclaims it about our God. Now he's uniting himself with the Philippians in praise together to their God. So Paul is saying, now to our God, to this God, to the God who brought them together over these 10 years, who brought them through so many ups and downs, where they've enjoyed the benefits of many wonderful shared blessings. Paul has told the Philippians all these wonderful truths throughout this letter, that God began a good work in them and will perfect it, that God is at work in them, that their citizenship is in heaven, that God will transform the body of their humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. He tells them to rejoice in the Lord always, that the peace of God will guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, and that the God of peace will be with them. And then finally, that God will supply all their needs according to his riches and glory. And after all that, Paul directs their attention to what? The only place it can be. To God, their caring and loving Father. And I end with this segment, now to God and Father be glory forever and ever. So we've seen five joyful benefits with rewards of engaging in godly partnerships with your local church, Summit Woods. You have a joyful unity, a joyful profit, a joyful sacrifice, a joyful provision, a joyful proclamation, which leads to rewards of mutual blessings of friendship, growth in character and spiritual maturity, pleasing to God, relationship with Jesus Christ, and recognizing God's inherent glory. So I'm going to read this definition of partnership again in light of everything that we've gone through these joyful benefits, and see how it's ringing a little bit more true. So a partnership is a shared relationship built on mutual submission to Christ and a common purpose of glorifying God. This includes active participation in the local church, mutual accountability, and working together towards a shared gospel mission. Now, the Philippian church is made up of Gentiles of varying backgrounds, okay, and personalities. They've been brought together through the preaching of the gospel to form this church. They're a very poor church, and they've had some member difficulties within the church, as well as fighting against adversaries outside the church. So let's ask ourselves, what makes people who are different in looks, nationality, personalities, beliefs, character, which can all cause disunity, what unites people together that are so different? You thought about that? What gets their focus off their differences or struggles and enter in a kind of partnership to fulfill a mission? Anybody know? Well, I think it has to be a purpose that's bigger than ourselves, right? Here's some examples. Teams, partnerships, right away. Kansas City, we've got the Royals and the Chiefs, right? So you've got men from different backgrounds coming together for one purpose, joining as a team, no matter their differences, because they're out to achieve one goal, right? They're coming together as a team and partnering together. Okay. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. They all come together to gel as one team. What's another one? Community projects or neighborhood drives. Everybody gets together in their neighborhood for maybe a neighborhood cleanup, maybe planting gardens. What's another one? Military. Military's another one. You've got people from all different backgrounds joining a branch of service that are coming together for one mission. How about humanitarian aid, natural disasters? What about wartime? Here's one that hits home for us that most of us know is 9/11. Some of you don't, some of you are younger here, but the 9/11 tragedy, what happened there? You heard talk about the human spirit of those rising up during that time to meet a challenge. It's us against them. There was no black, white, Jew, whatever, Christian. It was person to person, all fighting against one common enemy, right? That was a team. That was a partnership. So as Christians, what unites us? Well, I think what unites us is our shared faith in Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I think the unity is rooted in our shared relationship with God through Jesus Christ, a shared mission and a shared hope for the future, all guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit glorifying God. What about our local church? Godly partnerships start with focusing, getting the focus off ourselves and onto the mission. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about our common mission as a team. What's that mission? To glorify God, make disciples, spread the gospel. We do this from giving of our resources of time, talent, and our treasures, just like the Philippian church. Through our resources, Summit Woods is impacting our church community and many other places with the gospel. So to repeat the question that I started with in the beginning, what kind of joyful benefits and rewards can you gain from partnering with the ministries of your local church like Summit Woods and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, with a heart of obedience to the Lord as the foundation, we will experience a joyful unity, a joyful profit, a joyful sacrifice, a joyful provision, and we will joyfully proclaim that all the praise and glory goes to our God and Father. Let's pray. God, our Father, what a realization to know the joyful benefits that are available to us through coming together for the common purpose of spreading the gospel. Father, give us hearts to be obedient to your word and to think of others more important than ourselves for the purpose of partnering together to impact our church community and many other places with the gospel. Now to you be the glory forever and ever. Amen.